First Peter chapter 1. Seven sermons already in 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're not done. I think we'll have a couple more. But tonight we talk about a topic very precious to all of us, and that is the blood of our Savior. Praise God. Where would we be without the blood of Jesus? So look at verse 17 of 1 Peter chapter 1. And it says, if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained for the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who by him do believe in God, and raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. So tonight we talk about the precious blood of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, please use your word in our hearts this evening. Teach us, guide us. Bless the ministry next door, Lord. Give the young ladies wisdom. And may it be a special time, these young people, Lord, to get together and learn together and sing together. Lord, meet with us now and use your word, and may we leave changed through its power. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as we see here, the Lord is reminding us, in the midst, remember, Peter's about suffering. In the midst of our suffering, where would we be without the blood of Jesus? The blood of Jesus Christ. The precious, it says in verse 19, the precious blood of Christ. And notice he talked there in verse 18 about that we're not redeemed the corruptible things, but the things that he mentions are silver and gold. The thing that people clamor for the most here on earth is silver and gold. It's what most currencies are based on, and yet compared to the blood of Jesus Christ, it's a corruptible thing. Something that's going to burn up. But praise God, we were not redeemed with something corruptible. Go to Psalm 49, if you would, where God reminds us that there is nothing that can buy redemption. The world doesn't understand this. They try to buy their way into heaven. Now, not necessarily with literal money, but they're still trying, Psalm 49, they're still trying to buy their way into heaven with good works, the baptism, church membership. Notice what it says here in Psalm 49, down in verse 6. It says, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. You can't buy redemption. And that's what God said. We weren't redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold. We were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. As it says in verse 18, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your elders. What's he talking about? People trying to earn heaven. Your vain conversation. Now we're conversation. Talk about your behavior. It's vain. Trying to follow traditions. Trying to earn heaven. You can't do it. And of course we know the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works. We were redeemed, as it says in verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ. Praise God for the precious blood of Christ. Probably a good time to just stop and talk about the precious blood of Christ. And I found 12 things that the blood does for us as God's children. There's probably more, but 12 is a good number. That's why I stopped at 12. Number of tribes of Israel, right? But the first thing, of course, verse 18, we're redeemed. To be redeemed means to be bought back. To be purchased. God bought us back from the devil with the blood of Jesus Christ. We were redeemed. The second thing, and I'm going to do these in scripture order to make it easy. The second thing that the blood does for us is it atones. And that's found in Leviticus 17:11, if you want to turn there. Great verse. You say, wow, it's in Leviticus, of all places. That's one of those books that a lot of people skip when they're reading through the Bible. But the Bible says in that verse, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Wow. Just think back when they used to do surgeries and bleed people to try to get rid of sickness. All they had to do is read Leviticus 17:11. The life of the flesh is in the blood. They were draining the life out of them. And he says, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make, what does he say? An atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. That word atonement means to cover. And we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are atoned. We are made. Another definition people like to use is at-one-ment. We are made at one with God. So the blood of Jesus Christ not only buys us back from the devil, but it makes us one with God. It covers us. And then thirdly, Acts chapter 20. Go there, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. And Paul here is talking to the elders at Ephesus. And notice what he says. Take heed therefore, Acts 20, 28, unto yourselves and unto all the flock of which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, purchase and redemption are similar, but not exactly the same. Redemption means to be bought back or redeemed from a debt. Purchased means we are actually bought with a price, as we're told in 1 Corinthians 6:19, and therefore we are, God now has ownership of us. That's what it says, right? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So he purchased us with what? His own blood. By the way, that's a good verse on the deity of Christ, because it says the church of God, which he, that refers back to the word God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Acts 20, 28. So it's saying that God purchased the church with his own blood. Amen. Let's go now to Romans chapter 3 for number 4. Looking at all the wonderful, well, many of the wonderful things. I'm not going to say the word all. But many of the wonderful things that the blood does for us. Romans chapter 3 verse 25. It says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Now that's a pretty big word. Propitiation. And what it means is satisfaction or reconciliation. But it means that God was satisfied with the payment that Jesus made on the cross as our substitute. He propitiated us. He propitiated God. He satisfied God with his blood. God said, that's enough. It's sufficient for the, well, I don't want to spoil some of these other words, but it's sufficient to make them worthy of heaven. Propitiation. All right, now Romans chapter 5, verse 9. I didn't want to give this one away before I got there. Romans 5, 9 says, much more then, being now justified by his blood. Justified. That means we are declared just. Just as if I'd never sinned is how a lot of people like to define that word. God makes us just through Jesus. When we stand before God, he's going to see a perfectly just person. It's amazing. All the sins that we've committed, they're gone. God sees a just person because of Jesus, because we are made part of him. So the blood of Jesus Christ redeems us, atones us, purchases us, propitiates us, and justifies us. And then number 6 is in Ephesians 1, 7. Let's turn over there. Ephesians 1, 7, which says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We already talked about redemption. But notice the next phrase, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The blood of Jesus Christ gives us forgiveness. We are forgiven through the blood. Remember I mentioned Sunday. That's why it's always good when people are talking about trying to earn their way to heaven to ask them, then why did Jesus have to die on the cross? If you can get yourself to heaven, why did Jesus have to die? We had to die because we have a sin problem. And good works doesn't take care of it. It takes the blood of Jesus to forgive sin. Praise God for the blood of Jesus. And then Ephesians chapter 2, the next chapter, it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Made nigh. It means brought close. We've been given, Ephesians 2:13, we've been made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Made nigh to who? To God. We were separated from God since the Garden of Eden because of our sin. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we're now made nigh to God. All right, another one, Colossians 1:20. And I've already lost count. Number 8, thank you. It says, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross." So the Bible says that the blood makes peace with God. It goes on to say, "by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself," which reconcile is similar to propitiation. But it says here that the blood of the cross made peace. We were at enmity with God. The blood of Jesus Christ made peace with God. And then Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. The Bible says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." The blood of Jesus Christ gives us boldness. But really that point there, I think, would be more access. It gives us boldness to what? Enter into the holiest. We can enter the holiest, the holy of holies. Not the one on earth, the one in heaven, where God is. We have access to His throne. Man didn't have that before the cross. We have access to the throne of Almighty God, as it says here, by the blood. The blood of Jesus. It's precious. Look at all that it did for us. Hebrews 13:12. Let's look at 1, 2, 3 more. So that must have been number 9. So Hebrews 13:12. The Bible says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood." So the Bible says we are sanctified by the blood. That means set apart. It means God, when we got saved, He said, "You're mine now. I have a purpose for your life. I've sanctified you by the blood of Jesus Christ." And then 1 John 1:7 is number 11. 1 John 1:7 says, "If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." The blood cleanses us, praise God, for the cleansing power of Jesus Christ. And of course, we have that cleansing anew every time we confess. Because 2 verses later, right? Everybody should know that verse. That He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we confess. We confess our sins. So He cleanses us through the blood. And then lastly, Revelation 1:5. The Bible says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." Isn't it wonderful to be saved? Amen. Praise God. The precious blood of Jesus. We were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Back to our passage, 1 Peter 1:19. So that was my introduction. Let's get into the sermon now. You know I'm kidding. But you've had, you know, some preachers do that. Verse 19, it says, as of a lamb without blemish. So we're talking about the blood tonight. And then God mentions a lamb without blemish. Well, if you go back and study in Exodus chapter 12, when the Israelites performed the first Passover, the lamb that they used to get the blood to put on the doorposts, the Bible says that lamb had to be without blemish. There could be nothing obviously outwardly wrong with that lamb. It couldn't have a broken bone. It couldn't have like a place where its wool was messed up or anything like that, broken ear, whatever. It had to be a good-looking lamb, no issues, without blemish. And why was that? Because that lamb was an illustration of the lamb to come. When John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, when he was baptizing, he looked at Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So Jesus Christ is the Lamb. The difference is, for hundreds of years, Israel has been sacrificing lambs. But now, the Lamb of God has been sacrificed, not necessary anymore. Once for all, the Bible says in Hebrews 10:10. So the Lamb without blemish and without spot, that of course is Jesus telling us that Jesus Christ is sinless and perfect and holy. The Bible even tells us, right, 2 Corinthians 5:21, He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That phrase, who knew no sin, that's talking about Jesus. He knew no sin. He never sinned. He is without blemish. He is without spot, which makes His blood precious because it was the blood of a perfect man, of the God-man. Verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. The day that Adam and Eve fell, God knew what was necessary. It was foreordained that God was going to have to die for His own creation. It's the most amazing story there ever was told. That our own Creator became a man to die in our place. There could never be a better story than that. It was foreordained. And notice it says, manifest in these last times. People waited and they waited and they waited, but the manifestation, which we looked at on Sunday, 1 John 4:9, and this was manifest the love of God toward us. The manifestation of God's love is Calvary. And at Calvary, the precious blood of Jesus Christ was shed for us. It says, verse 21, who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. The blood, the precious blood of Christ, did all those things for us and made us worthy of heaven. And then it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ that gives us the assurance that God has the power to save. And so that the resurrection was His declaration that death has been conquered and that He can give us eternal life. There's a verse in Romans 1 I'd like you to look at, verse 4. It talks about how the resurrection was a declaration of God's power. We know as Christians that we can receive eternal life because we look back at Jesus who is alive. Our Savior isn't in a tomb or a grave. He's alive. Notice Romans 1:4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So notice it says there that the resurrection declared the power of God to give us life. Praise God for the precious blood of Jesus Christ and all that it did and is doing for us and will continue to do for us, and we won't even understand its amazing preciousness until we get to heaven. But until we do, we just need to keep singing about it and telling people about it. Amen? Mm-hmm. The precious blood of Christ.